Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for letting us have a good time on the game, just enjoying each other's fellowship. I pray that we'll do more of the same afterwards, Father. But the emphasis, as always, needs to be on your word. So I pray, Lord, that everyone here would come for that reason, to hear your word, that they might grow more and more in the grace and knowledge of their Savior. That is the reason that we fellowship together, that we may open your holy word and learn together, grow together as a body. Yes, we're going to have fun. Yes, we're going to play games. Yes, we're going to eat. But those, I pray, would always be secondary, Lord, that your word would always have priority for everyone here. So I pray that our motives for coming would not to just be playing games, would not be for anything else but to hear your word. So let that be everyone's motives for coming, I pray, Lord. And I pray that as we come together and hear your word, that we will grow together as a body. And that because of that, our fellowship and our games would also glorify you, Lord. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 1. 19 and 20. Actually, we'll read all the way to 21. And we'll focus a lot on 19 and some on 21. So, I'm going to read. Everyone else follow along. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace of God and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. May the Lord give us ears to hear. So we finished last week, verse 18, finishing the reason that he was in Christ, or that he was in prison, and that some were wanting to take advantage of that. Some were jealous of his apostleship, his teaching, his popularity, and were teaching from wrong motives. And so he goes on to tell us that he is appointed for the defense of the gospel. And that Paul was, his only point was that Christ was preached. We see that from verse 18. So then 19 again says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." It seems that in our society there is so much emphasis on planning out our entire lives. Where we're going to go to grade school, where we go to mid school, where we go to high school, home school, whatever it might be. Then you plan to where you're going to go to college, what you're going to do for your job, who you're going to marry, planning on saving enough money to buy a house, having enough money to then start having kids and having a family. And so all throughout our life, it's fixed in us to plan, 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 plan. And I'm not saying that any of that is bad, because it's not. It's good to plan. But there's always a but. But along the way, there are disappointments. Things we could not foresee happening and things that we could never plan for. Whatever it might be. Unable to have kids. Weren't able to go to college, the college that you wanted to. All these disappointments that happen in all of our lives come to us. And it's that those disappointments shows us who we are. Because, you know what, sometimes we're never going to have enough money to have kids, or just all these different things that we can't foresee happening. And so it's always easy to quote from Romans 8:28, which says this: "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose." It's always easy to quote that verse when things are going well, when things are just smooth. Oh, you know, Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those who love God and called according to His purpose. Have you noticed that? But you always hear people saying that when things seem to be going good. But what about the bad things? What about when a sickness comes? What about when someone dies? What about, you know, when you guys are older and you wanted to get married at 19 or 20 and now you're 30 and you're still not married, or whatever. That spouse just hasn't come along. You know, that will be later for you all, much later. Don't even worry about any of that now. Focus on God, right?
Amen.
Okay. But the point being, what about when trials come? When we're facing difficulties, like I said, when a sickness comes to you or a family member, when your family's going through financially a tough time, when just whatever it might be, then will you still hold to that verse? Will you still say, you know what, despite the circumstance, all things work for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose, even in the midst of bad times? And see, it seems for us that we have all this planning, but we never plan for the bad things that we could not see happening. And how can we? Along the way, there are disappointments. And for some, there are extreme disappointments that cause us to drown ourselves in pity. And for some, cause even legitimate sorrow and even depression. And again, it's always easy to quote that when things are going well. Paul seemed to understand that it's in the bad times also that you hold on to these scriptures. He seemed to understand that, for he had preached the gospel of Jesus through much of the Roman Empire. But he wanted to make it to the western part of the Roman Empire. Now he finds himself in prison, not knowing whether or not he's going to make it to that part. And so we see a good example there then for us. And here he is in prison, not knowing whether he's even going to be freed or not, or even live or die. If Nero is going to free him, or if because of him preaching the gospel, he's going to be killed for this. He doesn't know, does he? And so we can learn from Paul. He doesn't know what his outcome is going to be. Is he going to be free? Is he going to be able to go back to the church at Philippi like he said he wants to? Is he going to be able to preach to the western part of the Roman Empire? Or is he going to remain in jail for the rest of his life? Or is the decision going to come down, well, he's going to be killed in 2 weeks for this? He doesn't know the outcome, whether it's going to be good or bad, does he? But Paul knows that all things do work for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose, good or bad, or what we might call bad, or devastating, or what have you. But in everything, things always turn out the way God has planned. We can count on that. They may not turn out the way we have planned, or the way your parents have planned, but things always turn out the way God has planned, for He is sovereign over all things. This is what the Bible declares and teaches. Do we believe this? Do we trust in this? So he says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance or for my salvation," depending on your translation there. This, he's saying, this circumstance of him being in prison, this will turn out for my deliverance, for my salvation. What is he talking about? Is he saying, wait a minute, does he know that he's going to be freed from prison? Or what is he talking about here? Sounds as if he's talking as if he's going to be freed or released. And some say that Paul means here his freedom, but I don't think that the text supports that here. Would he like to be freed and see them again, the church of Philippi? Of course he would. And of course that's what he's going to pray. Of course that's what the people are praying. He wants to be freed so that he continue and preach the gospel to Western Europe and return to his brothers and sisters in Philippi or wherever he has visited before. So on a human level, Paul is uncertain of the outcome. But on the spiritual level, Paul knows that whatever happens will work out for his deliverance, for his salvation, eternal and final salvation. What do I mean by that? As Charles Spurgeon writes, he hoped that the spread of the gospel would call Nero's attention to his case and end his imprisonment one way or the other or another. And little did he care whether he was set free by death or being allowed to resume and be free from prison. Because either way, he was going to be set free. Either way, he was going to be delivered or saved, whether it's from prison or he's killed and have eternal salvation, where his salvation is complete and he is made perfect and he's at home. That's what he's talking about here. For I know that this circumstance of me being in prison, it will turn out for my deliverance. It will turn out for my salvation. If I'm freed, if I remain here, or if they kill me, it will turn out for my deliverance. If I'm freed, praise God, I preach to whoever else that I wanted to go and preach to. If I remain here, praise God, I'll continue to preach to these guards. If I am killed for the cause of Christ, praise God, what an opportunity. What a privilege to die for my Savior. And then I'm free. I'm home. I get to go home, don't I? That's what he's saying here. So this will turn out for his deliverance. He knows this. All things work for good. That's what he says in Romans. And he holds to that. Here he is in prison. And he holds to, he knows, hey, all things work for good. All things work for the cause of Christ. Whether I'm free, I remain, or they kill me. What about you? Do you know that in all things that it will work out for your deliverance? Whether your things are going good for you or things are going bad for you. Do you hang your head and fall into a deep depression or just have a pity party for yourself? Or do you say, you know what, I'm gonna keep my head high here. I'm going to keep my head in the Scriptures and in prayer, and I'm going to keep going. for all things work for good. You know what? Things aren't going so good right now, and life is tough for me, but I will keep my eyes focused upon Christ and keep going. And if I live or die, if I have some sickness and God heals me, praise God. If He takes me home, praise God. If financially things are just so bad that we lose our house, praise God, He will still give us a place to live. He will still give us food. And so He continues. So, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, the Greek here intimately joins the two nouns together by having but one preposition and one article. That might be a little confusing, but bear with me. So, through your prayer and the consequent supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ obtained for me through your prayer, he's saying. So, they are one there. They are connected. The word which we translate supply signifies also furnishing whatever is necessary, or the furnishing of what is wanting. Just as the Spirit of God pours into us everything for which we are destitute of. So he's saying, let's read this again. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Obviously, they are praying for him. Okay? And Paul's point is, through your prayer, my deliverance is going to happen. It might not be what you're praying, but you are praying that I will have strength through whatever circumstance. And the Spirit of Christ is supplying me what I am needing, what I am wanting, what needs to be for me to make it through this circumstance. That's what he's saying here. Calvin puts it this way, in a way that can be understood. I know that all this will turn out to my advantage through the administration of the Spirit, you also helping by prayer, so that the supply of the Spirit is the efficient cause, while prayer is the subordinate help. The Spirit is the helping cause. Prayer is the subordinate helping cause. So Jesus knows exactly how Paul is feeling. How do I say that? Jesus was put on trial himself, wasn't he? Jesus was put on trial and found guilty, wasn't he? Jesus was taken and beaten and mocked and taken to his death. So does he know what Paul's going through here? Absolutely he does. Eyes up here, guys. Absolutely he knows what Paul is going through. Right? And so this is what he said. I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Again, does Paul know if he's going to be freed? No. Does he know if he's going to die? No. But through that circumstance, he has the Spirit of Jesus Christ with him to empower him, to give him what he needs to make it through. Jesus went through the same circumstance, but he went through his death. Paul doesn't know yet what's going to happen to him. But he knows this, that he has everything he needs. Things that are wanting or needing, the Spirit is supplying to him. And if death is at his door, Spirit is supplying him strength to make it through that. To be able to say, may God be glorified through my death, which he's about to say. So the Spirit supplies here. Okay? So the next verse then, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether in life or by death. And so this is the reason why I think that he's saying that my deliverance is not my freedom. It might be, but ultimately he's saying, if I'm freed or if I die, is what he's saying. Albert Barnes writes, The earnest desire and hope which Paul had was not primarily that he might be released, but it was that in all circumstances he might be able to honor the gospel, living or dying. To that he looked as much more important, to that he looked as a much more important matter than to save his life. Life with him was the secondary consideration. The main thing was to stand up everywhere as the advocate of the gospel, to maintain its truth and to exhibit its spirit. So that's the point Paul wants to make to his believers here. He's saying, look, I know you're praying that I might have freedom. I know you're praying that I might have strength, that I can see you again. But that might not happen here. And so whether I live or die, Christ needs to be magnified. Christ needs to be glorified even in my death. And in my death, the gospel will stand tall. Paul had, up to this point, given his life, given his new life, because remember his former life. So Paul had, up to this point, given his new life to the cause of Christ and was confident of this one thing, that he would not be put to shame. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that according to my earnest expectation, looking to see what's going to happen, I'm earnestly expecting something and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. What is he saying? It is my earnest expectation, my hope that in nothing I am ashamed. So think about that. He had given his life, hadn't he? Since the day of conversion, and his time of preparation, and to the day that he started the ministry, he had given his life entirely. Preached the gospel. Remember, what did he do in prison? Did he have a pity party? Did he, Mom, yeah, it's just not fair. Why is so-and-so getting in? That's what we sound like sometimes, don't we? We have pity parties for ourselves. Things aren't going our way. And we get our cell phones out and call our best friend pity. And we shouldn't do that. Here he is in prison, and he doesn't have a pity party. He says, all things work for good. All things work for good. Yes, even while I'm here in prison. And even if I die. And so he uses that time to preach to the gospel. And so he says here, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. I gave my life completely to the cause of Christ and promoting His gospel. That is what we need to say. That in everything that we do, it was for the cause of Christ. Yes, even when you play sports, even when you do your schoolwork, even when you fellowship, even when we come here, whatever you do for the cause of Christ, that He might be glorified. And in this, Paul is saying, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. And because of this, he says, thus, with all boldness, as always, Paul always had a boldness for Christ, for preaching the gospel. He didn't care where he was. He was going to proclaim the gospel. And even as we read, the other believers started gaining confidence and had a boldness. And so he says, but with all boldness, as always, so now, even in prison, even now, I will have boldness. I will have confidence. And so now, also, Christ will be magnified in my body. But he doesn't stop there. He says, whether by life or by death. Can we say that? Can we say that? Or when things start going bad for us, do we just start boo-hooing? Or can we say, you know what? In my body, whether I live or whether I die, Christ will be magnified. Christ will get the glory. And in nothing will I be ashamed. I'm sick. God, that's not fair. Lost my job. God, that's not fair. I wanted 10 kids and can only have 2. God, that's not fair. Right? Things always, they never turn out the way we planned. All is facing us right now. God, I'm in prison. It's not fair. He doesn't do that. And neither should we. Why? Because all things work for good to those who love God. Yes, even the bad things that happen to us sometimes. In those bad things, we can trust more in Christ and say, I know this is for your glory, even through this tough time. And in this bad time, I will trust in you. I will cling to your word. And I will cling to the cross. And I will fix my eyes upon you and move forward, even if I die. That in my body, you will be magnified. In my death, Christ, you will be magnified. Your name praised. Your name lifted high, even in my death. That's what Paul's saying here. Wow. That blows me away. Certainly he did not plan this. Certainly he did not foresee this. But here it is. And here's an excellent example for us to learn and to know that as you young people, as you go through your life and you're planning to go to college or you get married, you know, at a young age or an old age and you have a big family, small family, or what you're going to do for a living or whatever. Where you're going to live? Where are you going to go to church? But as you plan, know this. Things always don't turn out the way you plan. And along the way, there are disappointments. And so what are you going to do at that moment in your life? I want you to remember this. This, not me, but what we're learning here tonight. I want you to remember that when you're older and things just aren't working out the way you planned, you can say, wait a minute. I remember the night in youth when we learned in Philippians that that's what happened to Paul. He didn't say, woe was me. He said, whether I'm freed or whether I live or die, may Christ be magnified. And so let us learn from this together and move forward even in those dark times, even in those disappointing times. And so then going back to where I started, can we then also quote Romans 8:28 when we're going through disappointments and hard times? Or do we just do it when things are going good? This should be both. Because God is in control. And so when things are good and when things are bad, let us say all things work for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And in the bad time, I will learn and I will grow and I will keep my eyes fixed. And even if I die, may Christ be magnified and glorified. Calvin, or England, as Calvin says, if accordingly, giving ourselves up to the good pleasure of God, and having in our life the same object in view as Paul had, we expect, in whatever way it may be, a prosperous issue, we shall no longer have occasion to hear lest any adversity should befall us. For if we live and die to him, we are his in life and in death. Again, one more time. If we live and die to him, we are his in life and in death. And in that, may he be magnified and may he be glorified. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for your written word, because it does its perfect work in our lives. It takes each of us and it molds and it shapes, it convicts, and it gives us growth and maturity, and it teaches us more and more about your grace and your knowledge. It teaches more about our Savior. And so I pray that we will learn tonight that throughout our life, things don't always go good. And they don't always turn out the way we planned it. It's not always a nice house and a white picket fence and the perfect family and the good dog. There's disappointments along the way. There's things that we didn't plan for. And as Christians, it's those times that should give us strength, that should give us encouragement to know that, hey, through this tough time, God is going to do his good work in me. And I will not waste my time boo-hooing and feeling sorry for myself and having a pity party, but to God's glory, I will keep going. And I will say that this will work out for good, because I do love God and I am called according to his purpose. And this circumstance is for his glory. Even if I die. And so let us learn from Paul's example that he didn't say, woe is me, but he preached the gospel with boldness. And so let us say, with boldness, that we will not be ashamed. That we will not say, man, I blew it. Why did I waste that time? Why was I blaming God? Why was I angry at God? But let us say, to God be the glory here. Let me learn from this difficult time. And let you be glorified in my life, whether I live or whether I die. Jesus said,